go. Okay, if you take notes, I called it letting go. And it just has to do with our past. If you have to leave early, it has to do with letting go of some of the stuff that's holding us back so we can move ahead. Okay, and that's how we grow in Christ. So you got the gist of it in the first 30 seconds or so. Well, let's start with some prayer tonight. Father, we're grateful to be here in your presence, to be here with your people. Father, to be able to fellowship and just find out what's been happening in life, Lord. Some of the good things and helping through, just talk through some of the things that were more difficult this week. But Lord, we trust in you. We know that you're on our side. We know that you're with us. We know that you're living and dwelling in us, Lord. And as we go forth, we can press into the things that you want, Father, with confidence, knowing that your grace is available, your unmerited favor, your anointing is upon us, that we can step into life and situation and relationship, work, or whatever it is, and step into that with confidence, knowing that you're on our side and with us. Lord, we trust you this morning or this evening, and Father, we're grateful that we have your word to encourage us, and I pray tonight that you'll help to encourage each one of us to let go of some of those things that might have been trying to hold us back in life, to let us step into our calling, to step into our place in life with you, Father. We trust you for this. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 So it seems like we're in, I don't know if it's a day and age or what you'd want to call it, but a time like we have enough things that are pulling at our attention, enough things that are pulling on our just trying to weigh us down in life, that if there was some way to sort of alleviate some of that stresses, some of the major stressors, some of the things that are maybe not even seen as such major, but maybe some of the nagging things, maybe things that are kind of always on our mind, maybe the back of the mind, that if with all the other stuff that we can't control, if there's anything that we can control to be able to alleviate that, we probably ought to figure out how to do that and go about doing it. Many years ago, I have a degree in psychology and criminal justice, but when I studied, I remember one of the psychology books, and it was dealing with relational psychology and how to relate, people getting along, those kind of things. And I just remember this picture, and I think that's where it came from, it was out of one of those books, but it was a picture about basically a relationship beginning. And it showed this guy that was a couple that was coming together. They were meeting to go somewhere. And the guy shows up, and he has, like one of those big pull-behind suitcases in one hand. And then the other hand, he's got literally two suitcases grabbed through the handle. And he's got a computer strapped over one shoulder and a book bag over the other shoulder and a backpack on the middle. And so you see this guy, and he comes walking up, dragging all the stuff. That's the image of the guy. And then on the other side was this lady, and of course she comes up and she's got suitcases and purses and things just draped over and a big carrying bag and what do they call those you put all your clothes in them that kind of keeps them from being wrinkled kind of bag. I can't, what is it?
Garment bag.
Yeah, like a garment bag. And so she's got all these things, and she gets there, and the picture is this guy with all his stuff and the lady with all her stuff, and they're meeting at the car, and it's like this little Volkswagen. And they look at each other with this look in their eye like there ain't no way that we're both going to be able to get all of our luggage, all of our baggage into this car. Okay, and so the point is, and the kind of the story behind it is, that's what it's like when relationships come together, that you have your baggage and they have their baggage. And when you get to the point of coming together, joining life together, you're going to have to let go of something, some of that baggage, get it behind you so that you can actually make it work. Okay. Otherwise, you try to cram into the car, and it's like the clown's getting in and shoving in, and it's just too much, and it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be a relationship that's going to work. Okay. Well, most of tonight is not dealing with so much relational baggage as it is some of the baggage, the things from our past, some of the things that maybe we experienced even before we became a Christian that are still nagging on us. Okay. Because if we have things that are kind of pulling on us, things that are grabbing our attention, things that are trying to hold us back in one area of our life or another, we're not going to be able to walk through life without being pulled off course, okay? Without being kind of, we're supposed to walk this straight and narrow path, right? But if we're trying to walk straight and you got something that's constantly pulling you to one side, it doesn't work very well. The Bible talks a lot about doing all things in moderation. Okay, not going to an excess of any particular thing or in any particular area, because when you do that, you get obsessed about something, you think about it constantly, it gets on your mind, you get so focused on that that you're not hearing what God is saying about everything else in your life. Okay, and that's when we get all caught up. You've heard of workaholics, right? People that are so focused on work and caught up in work that they don't even see that their marriage is falling apart. They don't even see that, you know, their relationships are suffering or the kids are suffering or whatever it is, because they're all caught up in that one thing. They're so focused that they're not hearing what God is trying to say to them about other areas of their life. The Bible talks about 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about not wanting to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever in that case. I want to take it out of context. And it's talking about the negative influence of the darkness on the light. Okay, and that's why you don't want to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Anybody ever heard that? It's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Okay, about not being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Okay, the picture of that unbeliever, that being unequally yoked, okay, it's a biblical reference, and the picture they're trying to paint is of two oxen pulling a plow. Okay, they used to use oxen a lot in those days, and two oxen pulling the plow, and one of them is notably weaker than the other one, or one of them is notably less interested in the task at hand than the other one. Okay, and so you've got one that's pulling strong and straight, and the other one is goofing off. So what happens is it starts to kind of veer off course. Okay, and it made it very hard to plow a straight line. Okay, when I was a kid farming, there was lots of opportunities to plant seeds, and when it came to planting corn, that was one of the things my dad never let me do, because I could not drive straight. I could do it once across the field, but then, you know, it seemed like over time I would start to get distracted. You were supposed to, back in those days, they had this thing that would go out to the side, and it gave you a line to basically aim at and to keep you on track. But if you didn't do it right, you'd end up with wavy rows of corn, and then the neighbors would see it, and it was, you know, it was embarrassing. So I think that's why Dad didn't have me do it. But at least when he did it, he got the glory for it. But okay, so some of the distractions and things in our life that are pulling us off course could be, and some of them are, things that just need to be dealt with so that we can focus on other things. Okay, some of them are things that we've just sort of put off dealing with for weeks, months, years, maybe our whole life. We just have never addressed it. We've just kind of kept it. It's been this nagging thing that we know we should do something different. I'll give you one example, and this is not a bad one, but just a self-deal. Sleeping. Sleeping's a good thing, right? I love to sleep. I would like to get more sleep. Okay, and I don't always get good sleep, but for one thing, I'm using a pillow that I think I might have brought it into the marriage. No, Margie's saying no. It's old, and it's beat up, and it's a certain kind of, it's got this down-filled feel to it. I don't think it is down-filled anymore, but is it? Okay, it is. Okay. But it's got all these things. Yeah, I've just had it forever, and I know that it's not good for my sleep, but I like that pillow, and I don't like the Walmart pillows. I don't like the stuff you can buy anymore that I've seen. I've seen some advertised on TV lately that I really want, though, okay? But they're like $70 pillows, and I just saw them at Walmart for $2.99. You can buy a pillow, so that's probably the kind I would end up getting. But my point is, I probably won't get the Walmart one, and I've got it in my head now. I'm going to deal with that pillow. Okay, I'm going to save up and buy one of those $70 pillows, because they get better sleep. It says right on TV that they get better sleep. And I'm convinced that it probably would help. It's a cooling pillow. It's got a place to put your arm in a little crook. I think it's going to help me to get better sleep. So that is one thing that has been nagging in my life probably for years. And I know I could use a better pillow, but I haven't dealt with it. Okay, that's a pretty easy example, but you get the idea. There's probably some things that we might just want to deal with. Okay, I think I've told this story before, but I remember a friend that was, he got behind on some alimony stuff. You know, he had been through a rough time in life and ended up without a driver's license, without insurance on his car, those kind of things. And he had to deal with life from that perspective, always watching his mirror, you know, never wanting the cop to come up behind him because his plates are outdated, because he couldn't get plates, because he didn't have insurance, because he didn't have a license. And so one day I just got in his face and I said, why don't you just deal with it? What do you have to do to make all that right? And he said, well, I'd have to go to a lawyer, I'd have to go to court. I said, then do it so that you can live life normally. And eventually he did. He got all that stuff in order and didn't have to worry about the cops coming up behind him anymore. Look at that nagging stuff that was kind of carrying in all the way through life, and it was affecting his daily relationships, affecting the route he took to work, affecting life, you know, who was going to get in the car with him, or those kind of things. It just affected life that just needed to be dealt with. And those are some of the distractions we have in life, right? We got a few off and on. It might be something you can think of. I was going to try to fill in the blanks on here's some baggage you could let go of, but I think I'll let you do that. Okay, I've got my pillow issue. I've got some other things that I'm going to deal with, but you can deal with your own. Okay, some of the baggage, some of the distractions are things from our past that were a product of our old man. Okay, that old man that was lost, unregenerate, self-centered, and did things in ignorance that probably didn't understand. I look back at my life, some of the things like in high school and college, all those things, I just shake my head in unbelief and disbelief. I cannot believe some of the things that were present or that I allowed or engaged in back in those days. Okay, those are things that came from the old man. And what I have done, and just so you know, if you have those kind of things, take them to God. Okay, and if you've been born again, you're a new creation in Christ, old things are passed away, all things have become new, and you've got a chance to start over. Okay, if there's some amends that need to be made here and there, you can do that. I said, I won't get into that, but let's do this. Let's look at, a scripture came to mind when I was thinking about letting go, and some of you may, as soon as we look at it, you'll say, oh yeah, that's a good one for that. But it's in Philippians chapter 3. So if you want to open up to that, Philippians chapter 3, in some Bibles, you'll have headings for different chapters, and in some different versions, a good heading that I've seen in front of this chapter has to do with the goal of life. Okay, in Amplified Bible, that's literally what it says in front of chapter 3. It says, the goal of life. Okay, and then it's going to give some things about the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's going to give what is a profound message about being aware of your past experiences, recognizing your past experiences, what needs to be let go of, and what should be kept. Okay, and that, he says, is part of the goal of life. And he's going to relate it to your born-again experience. Okay, and realizing that you're on the right track. You've probably some things of the past that need to be let go of so that you can move forward in life. So Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13 and 14, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or grabbed hold of anything, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, letting go of the things in the past, I'm going to press forward. Okay, so as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, what was the Apostle Paul referring to when he says that the one meaningful purpose in life that he had grabbed onto was to forget the things that were behind him and earnestly reach toward what was before him? What was he referring to? Okay, well, I don't have it in my notes, but let's do it. Let's back up just a little bit in Philippians. Let's see if I can find where that scripture is going to be at. Okay, let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, and let's start with like verse 4. Okay, he's talking about being confident in his flesh, or comparing that. You'll see how it's pride that he was talking about. Pride is the key word. Okay, but verse 4, he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Okay, he's being facetious. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, considered a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. But the things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, so that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is in God, of God by faith. Okay, and then he goes on, he talks about his relationship with Christ, but eventually he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended except one thing, and that is, letting go of the stuff that's behind me, I can now press forward into the things of God. Okay, so what was he talking about? A lot of Christians fall into the same trap that Paul was talking about with allowing his past mistakes and his successes. Okay, he had some good things. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews. He had some good things too, but he also persecuted the church that he was now promoting, so he knew he had made some mistakes. Okay, but Christians fall into this trap too of allowing their past mistakes and your successes to steer your life as a believer, when your past is not what steers your future near as accurately as the present. Okay, does that make sense? I want to say that again. Your past does not steer your future near as accurately as your present steers your future. It means the decisions that I make today are going to affect my future even more than what I've already done in the past. Okay, and that's what Paul came to that conclusion that, you know what, I had a lot of great things. I was a great guy. I did all these great things for the under the law. But now as a new Christian, all that is done away. That even the persecution of the church, he killed Christians, had them killed and stoned to death, all that kind of stuff. Even that was his mistakes of the past. All that, he said, I'm throwing all that away so that I may have and win Christ, so that I can press forward, that I can go forward in Christ and be who he wants me to be. See, Paul's life had changed. Okay? He was no longer the same guy he was when all that other stuff happened. When he was all this Pharisee to Pharisee, and when he was persecuting Christians, he was not the same guy. He had reached and passed that key moment in his life when he was born again. Okay, he knew that he was born, he was a new creation. In Paul's mind, the truths of the old man and the new man, the truths of the old creation, the new creation in Christ, those were viewed by Paul as the basis for the meaning of the goal in life. Okay, that new creation mentality, he says, is the basis for the goal of life. So, what was Paul leaving behind? If you look a little deeper into it, it's talking about all the efforts, all the things that he did thinking that he was right when he couldn't have been further from the truth. Okay, persecuting the church of God. How many today think that's a great idea? Okay, we know better today. Paul did not. At the time he was doing it, he really thought he was right. He thought he was right on track. There's people today in our society that have an agenda they're really passionate about, but they couldn't be further from the truth. They're caught up in the lie. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Okay, he was from a particular family line. He knew that. That was part of his past. His knowledge of the old covenant law, okay, that was part of his past. His self-made righteousness, his passionate zeal for what he believed in, that was all part of his past. And now he says, I see all that stuff as worthless. I see it as worthy of nothing but to be lost, to be forgotten. And he even described them as nothing better than dung. And it means what you think it does. Right? Paul had made some major mistakes in his life, but he was determined not to let those mistakes dictate his future. He was a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Nobody knew that better than Paul. He preached so much of the New Testament saying, you're a new creation. There's a reason behind that, because the past is the past. You've got to start today when you make your decision for Christ, or if you've done that, start from this moment and move forward. And that's what he had learned. And he said, out of all the things in life, all the relationship with Christ, all this stuff, it's all because of this new creation life that I now live. Paul had made mistakes, but he wasn't going to let it dictate his future. The whole gist of Paul's rant about all the great things that he did and all the great things that he was and had been were all to point out that it was his pride at the time that he did those things that was the main thing necessary to let go of in order to press forward into what God wanted for his life. Because if he clung to all those things, some of them were, you know, considered good things, if he clung to those, it was still going to hold him back from what God wanted him to do next in life. So often as believers, we cleave to our past, and then we sort of maintain the shape of our past, okay, instead of letting go in the newness of life in Christ and letting God shape us into who he wants us to be today. Okay, because even who I was as a Christian 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago is different today, because I'm not stuck in that. That's not everything about life. That's my past. It's experiences. I learned a lot, grew a lot. But starting today, I want to press forward into what God has for the moment, for today going forward. Because the world's changing right before our eyes, and I think we got to stay on top of that. We got to keep up with it, and God will help us to do that. Have you ever seen somebody that got stuck in high school mode? Hey. There's a few out there that have been there that might know what I'm talking about. They dress the same, they act the same, they talk the same as back when they were in high school, only now they're 50 years old, right? And they're kind of stuck in that, okay? And there's a spiritual term for it in deliverance. We would call it arrested development, okay? Kind of caught up. They just kind of got stuck and stayed in that moment. I remember a teacher one time where she was worked in a school. You could not tell from a distance that she was not a high school cheerleader girl, and she was probably 50 years old. That's the way she dressed. That's the way she acted. She goofed around, played around, and kind of maintained that. You know why? Because back in her glory days, back in high school, she was popular. She was pretty. She was the talk of the town. Everybody loved her. And so that mentality was what was driving her to do that when she's 50 years old. Okay, to try to live that moment again, to stay in that. And yet the reality was, she was a pretty gal. She could have lived her life as a mature believer and really, really enjoyed life as an adult. Okay, but she chose to kind of live it from that early mentality. Sometimes Christians can be pretty good at letting their pride sort of drive them, kind of rise up and use it to defend their present actions, okay? And that's what Paul was doing. He was talking against it, saying, don't let your pride in the past keep you from doing what God wants you to do now. But as Christians, a good example would be like when two people get into a heated discussion, as we call them in our house, okay, an argument, okay? And it starts getting kind of heated up. Starts going back and forth, and it starts getting louder. You ever notice that? Whoever can shout the loudest wins or something. And so it goes back and forth, and it gets louder, and pretty soon people are, you know, inevitably, somebody's going to dig up some long buried dirt on the other one and say, well, you did this, and point it out and bring up something from the past. And the immediate response on the other side is usually something like, yeah, well, I did this for you 3 days ago and you didn't notice. And I did this for you last week and you didn't even notice. And I do this for you and I do that for you and you don't even pay attention to all the good things that I'm doing. That is just what the Apostle Paul said that he was capable of doing when he says, I could bring up my past about being of the tribe. I could bring up my past about being a Hebrew. I could bring up my past about knowing the law better than any of you, but I don't. Because he said that pride was the one thing he needed to let go of in order to grab on to what God wanted him to do now. Okay? What we tend to do is try to point out our previous accomplishments in order to try to prove our present goodness. Okay, in that argument scenario that I'm talking about, okay, sometimes we cross a line trying to prove our point, and when we're doing that, we are proving the opposite of what we're trying to prove. There's a lot of that going on in our country right now, too, where people are trying to prove a point, but it's not proving the right point. It's going too far off. I don't want to get into that. When you're screaming all your prideful things that you've ever done for somebody into someone's face, and you're screaming it at them at the top of your lungs in order to prove your point and make them feel bad for not noticing it, then your present actions are not actually telling that person that you care about them. You're screaming at them that I care about you, I did this for you 3 days ago, and you didn't notice. So I do care about you. And the reality is, by my way that I'm going about it, I am proving that maybe I don't care as much as I say that I do. Okay, because there's a better way to handle that. I'm ratting on myself, you guys are, your heads are going down. Okay, this happens in life, but we've done it. Okay, but we need to know that it's rooted in pride that stuff comes up. You're cutting me down. You're saying I'm not never doing anything. I didn't do anything right, and I'm going to tell you everything I ever did right, so that you'll now believe that I am right. Okay, and that mentality comes from pride. Okay, Paul knew that. He knew that when we do that, we can get so blinded by our past that we can't see our current actions. Okay, when we're pulling up the past, good or bad, pointing it out, making a big deal out of it, we are not paying attention to our current actions. Okay, and that is what is happening. Okay, I better not go that route. I'm trying to stay away from something, but let's get into it a little bit. Paul's reference, okay, I'll get into it a little bit. Let's say you're standing up for not wanting to be violent, but you're using violence to make that point. Okay, enough said. That's what we see happening right now, and it's this. There's a little delusion that goes on. We're going to get into it pretty good on Sunday. Not political stuff. I just want to show you the spiritual stuff that's happening in our world right now. But we'll get more into that. Paul's reference when he said he was pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, forgetting all those things, letting go of all that lies behind, I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is exactly what we should be striving for in our Christian life today. Our goal in life is to become who God wants us to be. Okay, I mean, he already did what he's going to do on the cross. Now it's up to us to make some decisions, okay, and start letting that play out. Our goal is to let Christ shine in our life, to let him shine through our life. In fact, Jesus said that, Matthew 5:16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Okay, Jesus flat out instruction. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, the things that God is doing through you, and it will glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, the Apostle Paul, when he is making a statement like that and saying, I'm pressing toward this mark, his very next statement gives a great explanation about how to do it. Okay, how to step into the calling of God. It comes from living from the present with your eye on the future, realizing what has already been done in your past. Okay, and by that I'm talking about what has been attained by Christ. Once we know that he has attained our forgiveness, once we know that we're washed clean, when we get that so that this is part of who our life right at our back, we're living in the moment with our eye on the future. That's what he says is going to get us to that prize. Look at the next couple verses if you're still in Philippians. Verse 15 and 16. He says, let us therefore, let me look at this. So let's do 3:13, and then I'm going to read through 16. So 3:13, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," okay, he's talking about spiritually mature, "be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will even reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained," that's our past, "let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." Okay, another way to say that is that all of us who are mature, okay, pursuing spiritual perfection, okay, not complacent, not, I'm a Christian, whatever, okay, but spiritually seeking perfection, seeking the best in God. Man, when I was a young Christian, and even to this day, go through some convicting days, but there's times when I used to just lay in bed and cry. I didn't like the way my life was. I was not letting a light shine through me that I thought was giving God any glory. I felt and knew the hypocrisy in the way I was living. And so that spiritual perfection, that desire to do it right, I wanted to do what God wanted me to do, that was deep inside of me. And that is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Those that are mature, those of us who are pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude of pressing toward that mark. And if in any way you have a different attitude than that, God is quite willing and able to reveal even that unto you. And then he says, okay, let us stay true. Only let us stay true to what we've already attained. Okay, in other words, let us stay true to who we are in Christ. Let us stay true to being a born-again believer, because that's where we're at. That's what our past is back here, right up against us maybe, but that is our past. We need to stay true to who we are in the past. Letting go of the past, not focusing so much on that, makes us shapeable today by God. Okay, so if we want to grow up spiritually, we've got to say, you know what, I'm starting right here, God. Where are we going from this moment forward? Because I've made mistakes yesterday. We all have. Okay, even in our Christian life, we haven't done it all right. Okay, but we got to start right here and move forward from that instead of focusing on the mistakes that we've made. Letting go of all the things, all the good, all the bad, everything in between. Waking up every day and saying, God, here I am. Okay, make me in my life into what you want it to be today. Okay, this is where I'm at. God meets you where you're at, so now we can go forward. And that is exactly what every morning should be, that we're waking up and giving it to God. I want to encourage you to let every day be a fresh new day in God. The Bible says, Lamentations 3:21, it says, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Okay, the faithfulness of the Lord is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is new every morning. It's sufficient for every single day that we wake up. Okay, that means his goodness is there, his favor is upon us, his love and his faithfulness are brand new every single day. Nothing held back, nothing held against what happened yesterday. It's time to start with letting go of what lies behind and pressing forward from this moment on, so that God can have me, God can shape me, God can do what he wants to do, beginning right here, moving forward. Okay, that's our goal. Okay, where we're at, we're all at different places in our life with Christ. We are. We just are. Some got saved 20 years ago or 40 years ago. Some got saved 2 weeks ago. Who knows? Okay, we're all at some different place in our walk with God, but God meets us right there and says, start today. Step across that line and say, today's a new day. What do you want to do with my life today? Okay, and let him have his way in your life. I wrote something in my Bible many years ago. I'll end with this. And I think I've probably quoted this before, because it's something that I have probably said, repeated, spoken over myself probably 1,000 times in the last, 25 years. Okay, because I wrote it early on. It says, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ and I am totally dependent on God. I lay down my life today and take up the cross. I am truly hungry for God. Just spoke that over myself. I put it on my refrigerator. I've got it in every Bible that I own, I think. It's one of those things that God had just, you know what, this is my life. Today's my day. I'm obsessed with Jesus today. What do you want to do today? Okay, that's where we begin, and it's at those moments that God can say, let's do this today. You're a brand new creation. We can do whatever you want to do today. And God can take you and begin to shape you as long as you let go of some of those failure mentality and not good enough mentality and unworthy mentality, all that stuff from the past, and even some of the prideful things from the past that I did this and I did that. Let go of all that stuff so that God can shape you starting today. Amen. That wasn't too long, was it? Praise God. Father, we're praising you tonight. I thank you that you have a life for each one of us that you have, Father, not etched in stone that it has to be this way, but you're giving us that opportunity that by our faith in you, by our trust, by our will of our own personality that you've given us, Lord, that we can step day by day into what you want particularly for us, that we can reach forth unto those things that are before us. Let go of anything that might try to hold us back and just pursue you and what you want for our life, how you want to shape us and mold us into what makes the greatest impact for the kingdom of God. Father, we're trusting you for it and thanking you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And with that, does anybody else have something you'd like to pray about tonight? Any particular prayer need?